Welcome back to another episode of Girls Plus Wine Equals Inappropriate Conversations. That's what we do, and we do it sometimes socially distanced. I mean, sometimes we have to go back to 2020, back to the olden days, back to the past, and have a wine, you know, over Zoom because someone has COVID and we're not allowed to be together apparently still.
I know. All these rules. Like, I suppose we can talk about it on this podcast because this podcast is all about rule breaking.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well,
isn't it about those boundary pushed sort of moments in life? And, you know, I should have just come on over, and I've heard of them and I know that they're real, these big COVID parties where you go and get COVID together.
Yeah.
We should have made it a girls' night in with COVID.
Well, it's interesting because my dad's coming over from the UK next week and I was like, oh, we've got COVID in the house, you know, we need to be socially distanced. And he was very much like, he's been in England, like he's had it. They've all had it. They've been going through it for the last 2 years. And he's like, it doesn't matter. It's fine to me.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't mind getting it. It builds up your immune system.
He's like, go for gold. Have a party. It's totally fine.
Yeah. He's nearly 70. But to be honest, he will drink so much wine that COVID won't stand a chance in his body anyway. Actually, if we want to talk about inappropriate conversations, you know, we don't get political, you know, the rules, whatever. Now, I'm not encouraging this because I know it's irresponsible, but if alcoholic-based hand sanitizer kills COVID,
kills germs,
we know it does, then how come having alcohol in your blood, does that not kill COVID in your body?
Well, I think there's no better time than the present to give it a go, Katie. You could be the first that sets a new trend for pushing all the boundaries of how to get COVID out of your body.
Because they're never going to say that, are they? They're never going to advise you to drink lots of wine because that will kill COVID. No one's ever going to say that. So I am here to say that. I believe alcohol kills COVID.
Give it a nudge. Give us some feedback as to how it goes. Refrain from trying to drink the hand sanitizer, though, because I just think that's the wrong option.
I mean, we have some views, but we're not Donald Trump. So on this episode, I want to talk about, every week we talk about something that it's mostly sex orientated, if I'm honest. And sometimes we've touched on some other things like maybe Botox. What I'm finding with feedback from listeners is that they don't want the tame topics. They want the all out there, going where no one else goes, completely honest feedback on the stuff we don't normally talk about.
The things that are happening that we might not get privy to. And there doesn't need to be names on it. There doesn't need to be this, this and that. Like, it is actually happening. It's out there and we just need to talk about it because it makes it a little bit more okay.
Yeah.
Or a little bit more, oh, wow, I've done that too.
On an episode recently, we did talk about how people in Australia in particular aren't wearing contraception anymore. They're not wearing condoms. They're not protecting themselves.
No. Yeah, it's an actual thing. I don't know what you'd call it. You know, we say we're in a pandemic, but whatever you'd call it about condoms, it's happening. It's real. It's happening right now in our younger generation because I think the feedback was that they just don't care to, don't like it. There's no need. They'll just go and deal with their consequences after their actions.
Maybe because, you know, modern technology and medication and stuff like that has come on so well. You know, I remember, you know, in the 90s, everyone was worried about getting AIDS. Like, that's it. If you get AIDS, you're dead. And it was like that back then, but not anymore because there's now medication for HIV and things like that. Doesn't necessarily have to be a death sentence. I mean, it's probably still not nice to get herpes, let's be honest.
Who wants crabs even? Or who wants the clap? No one wants to clap. Koalas don't even want chlamydia, but they've got it. Like, come on, we need to talk about the fact that we don't need to be like sharing and spreading this shit. Honestly, it's crazy.
Crabs almost like fleas on animals because
lice in your pubes. That's it is. It is like little creepy crawlies crawling around your junk. If you've got hair down there, that's another whole topic. But that's what someone said. You can get lice, and lice can transfer from your genital area to things like your lashes and your eyebrows.
Oh, my God.
I'm going off what somebody else, that's somebody else's feedback. That's not me just Googling this shit, but that's somebody else's feedback that they've had it.
Does that mean if you've had a Brazilian, so if you've got no hair down there, then you can't get crabs?
Probably more like less likely to pick up the crab situation.
So there's a study that's been done. So it's been reported that a gonorrhea epidemic has hit certain parts of Australia with an antibiotic resistant strain detected. So what they're saying is that Australia is the most anxious country in the world over STIs, with 80% of Aussies Googling their symptoms instead of visiting a clinic. The most anxious country for STIs in the world.
Okay, I'm just going to put it out there and go, would the word anxious be the correct description of this? Why would you be anxious about it if you had just done the right thing in the first place? You wouldn't have to be anxious if you just wore, like, protection. It's easy as that. We're worried about having it, but we're not going to care about doing anything in the meantime.
We're not worried enough.
You can have sex 1,000 times in the one night with however many people you want. It just use protection. I mean, I don't know how your bits and pieces are going to pull up. I wouldn't recommend going swimming in the Dead Sea afterwards. But you just, like, you can't be anxious if you're happy to do it. Really? Well, are you?
How many times, not necessarily just for you, but anyone, have you had sex in the past and got carried away and then gone, oh, God, I've got to take the morning after pill tomorrow?
Oh.
Not that everyone's done that heaps of times, but I'm sure a lot of people have done that once in their life.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So you're not anxious in the moment, but then you are anxious afterwards when you realise the repercussions. Maybe alcohol was involved, you know, you just got a little bit carried away, got a bit excited, and then it's next day that you go, oh, shit, I've got crabs.
I wonder how long it takes for crabs to come on. And I think that out of probably most of the STIs flying around, I think crabs would probably be one of the ones that are probably more easily treated.
Yeah, well, you'd think so. Apart from lice in kids' hair is not easily treated. You got to comb out all the eggs. You got to then do it in another few weeks. That's hard to get rid of. Let's hope that the less pubes you have, the easier it is to comb that shit out.
Just shave it off. Go back to bare and then don't let those little fuckers crawl around in that area. That's disgusting.
The most common STI in women is chlamydia, and the most common for men is Mycoplasma genitalium, which is like a bacteria on the penis, like a cock bacteria, like a cock back. And then there's gonorrhea, the one that everyone says makes you look like your bits have gone moldy.
That's disgusting.
This is the thing. If you don't use contraception, then this is what you're opening yourself up for. You got syphilis.
A moldy vagina.
And then you got herpes. Herpes, that's cold sores on your bits. And they don't go away. Yeah, they come don't. Back every time you get run down.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all had chlamydia. We've talked about this on the podcast before. We've all had chlamydia once or twice in our life. You haven't. I remember groups of us girls used to go down to the clinic. Oh, here again.
People talk to me about it all the time. Katie loves that clinic. I was like, I'm hoping she's not at the clinic anymore. I said, I think that was in a previous life.
I'm married now. I have no idea what goes on at that clinic. I don't even know if that clinic's still there, but it was handy at the time. So that leads me on to, because the other thing I wanted to talk about in this episode was the time of year it is. So there's been a study done by a clinical and relationship coach who's saying that a lot of people around this time of year are giving up sex for Lent. So obviously Lent, we're not massively religious. Well, when I say massively,
like,
not at all.
You might need to lean in on this one, Katie, because I have no idea.
So basically I think it's about sacrifice and self-discipline. So giving up something, like you hear often about, you know, someone might give up chocolate for Lent or whatever. So there are people that are deciding to give up sex for Lent. So this particular guy who's done this study, I don't know how you get on to doing like this.
Yeah.
Like even with the sexually transmitted disease study, it's like Australia's the most anxious country, but really are you doing the survey in Afghanistan because it's probably the least of their worries?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just come to the population that are out there doing it the most. That's why we're the most anxious.
That's all we've got to worry about.
Yeah, we're worried about that.
So he's advising against it because he reckons it can negatively affect future sexual enjoyment. It can lead to sex negative views on pleasure and lead to sexual discrepancies within the bedroom. So he's basically saying that people are going to get frustrated and start arguing about it. But surely if you're giving up sex for Lent, your
partner is in support of it?
you'd think. Or are you then just punishing them? Maybe you had an argument and you go, right, that's it, I'm giving up sex for Lent.
Bang.
Good luck.
That's a way out. Just see ya. I'm giving up. That's it.
He said sometimes couples can find it fun to stop having sex for a period of time, but more in a way of an erotic game, such as chastity. Sex can be a large part of intimacy for some, and it may result in conflict if not fully agreed upon first. So he's suggesting that people are deciding on this before they're consulting their partners and they're just giving up sex for Lent, and it's like the partner has to just suck it up and get on with it. Or go see that brothel with the flashing lights outside down the street that does a massage.
I think it's definitely one that you'd want to consult together. Or basically you're just looking like an out of your marriage to get out of having to have sex with your partner for a month or two. Like, you know, you might be using it as one or the other. I could see it working in some favour for people that choose not to have sex or don't want to have sex with their partner.
No.
You know, bored. Like, you're sort of like, I'll just have a month off. Why? Because of Lent? Won't be.
Because of Lent? Oh, you got a headache again? No, I'm giving it up for Lent. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, because I think for me, the longer you go, the more you want it, the more you enjoy it. Do you think that's true? Like, I'm not somebody that would want to have it every day, because I'd be like, no, I haven't built up my need for it.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree. I think that in my opinion, I think that women and men are definitely wired just slightly different. I'm not speaking on behalf of all women. I think that though men could probably have it every single day.
Yeah.
And not even blink an eyelid. Whereas for women, yeah, you need that desire or want or lead up or that, you know, the feeling attached to it to go, even if it's once a week, you look forward to that one day a week, or, you know, I don't know if you schedule it. Do you schedule it?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily mind that, but I think my husband would absolutely hate that. He'd be like, no, we don't just have to do it on this time of day because it's this day of the week.
So the spontaneity for me, once if that's taken out of it, then for me, I go, oh, that's too clinical because it has to be organized. Now, going back to it stays on that line of like being organized and sort of adding things into your diary. I've been doing some work with a physiotherapist that works with women, and she also is a sex therapist. And she said, as part of my homework, I had to schedule in, put it in my calendar, like a meeting or a coffee catch up with a girlfriend, self-pleasure.
Oh, self-pleasure.
Yeah.
Really?
You should have been there for that conversation. She was phenomenal. She blew my mind. I was like, we were talking about my pelvic floor, and now we're talking about homework being self-pleasure and I need to schedule in an hour. I was like, an hour?
An hour?
So here we are talking about, you know, so this is what I'm saying, going back to your partner. If she's telling me I have to schedule in, and she's a professional in this, I have to schedule in self-pleasure during the day when I can, and making it a point of sticking to my calendar schedule. Imagine what it's like. I've heard this from like different couples saying that they schedule in the exact time and night that they're going to have sex. So
really?
It's got to be, well, you know, it's Saturday. Saturday is when we have sex. It's 8 p.m. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, it just wouldn't work for me.
And what about if they're like, oh, Saturday, shit, I put lots of garlic in the dinner. Oh, but we've got this booked in. Like, imagine that. Imagine your chicken isn't cooked yet and you got it in the oven. But, yeah, it's 8 o'clock. We've
got
to get up there.
I've got my 30-minute warning until I've got to be. And it just, see, for me, I look at it and go, I don't understand. So, like, I had this big discussion with this beautiful woman who was like, no, but, Rachel, it's important. It's as important as you scheduling, you know, your podcast or an hour with your girlfriend to have a catch up. You need to connect with your body. You need to spend the time. And I was like, oh my gosh, this woman, she's amazing. Like,
is it because of the muscle? Is it because it is good for the muscles?
Yeah. Wow. It all interlinks. Breathing, the breath, the contraction of muscle. It blows my mind. She said, Rachel, honestly, when we get this breath work and this internal side done, she said the orgasms that you'll have will just be through this world. I was like, I came here to see you about my pelvic floor and running, and now we're talking about self-pleasure. Breath work and how much my orgasms are going to go through the roof. I was like, okay, all right.
Well, that's exciting time. So what's the time? Okay, we better wrap up the podcast then, because you've got your time booked in. We know what you're doing for the next hour. Enjoy.
Oh, we are the Girls Gone.